Welcome to Essence, your weekly dose of Essence magazine. I am Cherise Stevens, a volunteer reader for Sun Sounds of Arizona. Today, I'm reading articles from the July-August 2025 issue of Essence magazine. Some of the articles I will be reading are
The Eternal Grace of Patti LaBelle. After 65 years on stage and on the cusp of her 81st spin around the sun, the living legend in the midst of her Queen's tour with Chaka Khan, Gladys Knight, and Stephanie Mills, touches base with Essence. As always, Miss Patti slays.
The Forever Cover. Go behind the scenes for the making of our historic 30th anniversary cover, which broke barriers when it hit newsstands. From Essence Online, I did Essence Festival solo again, and it gave me everything.
Our first article is The Eternal Grace of Patti LaBelle. Music's most enduring icon continues to break barriers, build empires, and chase platinum dreams. By Kimberly Wilson. How does one properly prepare for an interview with the Patti LaBelle? They call her Mama, of course. And that's exactly what I did as I prepared to speak with the legendary entertainer on the eve of her 81st birthday, which was on May 24, to be exact. The fact that she even agreed to the interview in the midst of her birthday celebrations and the Queen's tour, which also includes Chaka Khan, Gladys Knight, and Stephanie Mills, and concludes in October 2025, speaks volumes about who she is and the empire she's been able to build. Because one, the show must go on, and two, Patti LaBelle will always be the classiest of acts. But back to my preparation. I wanted to learn about my mother's first memory of the woman who would become one of her favorite artists. Where was she when she first heard Patti LaBelle sing? How did she feel? What was the song of hers she'd heard on the radio? As I rattled off questions, my mother's responses were exact and precise. She recalled the revolutionary spirit of Patti LaBelle and the Bluebells, the group that broke boundaries with their space-age costumes and avant-garde performances in the 1970s. Mama knew right away they were ahead of their time. And of course, how could she forget the 1974 hit Lady Marmalade? Younger fans may be familiar with the version of the song from the 2001 movie Moulin Rouge. It was re-recorded by Christina Aguilera, Little Kim, Maya, and Pink. But make no mistake, we have Miss Patti LaBelle to thank for the original. It was a hit, just like the New Age version, and it solidified LaBelle as the queen she still is. Then there's the millennial in me. I was first introduced to LaBelle in her scene-stealing turn as Dwayne Wayne's mother in Adele Wayne on A Different World. Over the course of several seasons, though she wasn't a main character, her presence was memorable, bringing warmth, humor, and peak Black mom energy to one of the most revered television shows in Black entertainment history. And who better than her to go toe-to-toe on screen with another icon, Diane Carroll, who played Whitley's mama. It was a masterclass in Black excellence and elegance. As for my Gen Z niece, she knows her as the Pie Lady, whose sweet potato confections became a viral sensation. It was a simple pivot, but one that reintroduced LaBelle to a new generation as her pies flew off the shelves. Three versions of Patti, speaking to three versions of Essence Woman. One might even say that the multi-generational appeal of Patti LaBelle tells the story of American music itself. I love being known for different things because I can have been in this business for 65 years, says LaBelle with obvious delight. Our conversation comes as Essence celebrates its 55th anniversary. LaBelle's connection to the magazine spans decades. Not only has she graced the cover of our magazine, but she was among the performers at the inaugural Essence Festival in 1995, sharing the stage with Luther Vandross, B.B. King, Frankie Beverly and Mays, Mary J. Blige, Boyz II Men, and Aaliyah. A pantheon of Black music royalty, many of those luminaries are no longer with us, a reality that weighs on LaBelle's heart. Whenever I wake up in the morning, I thank God, because it's not guaranteed that we will live as long as we want to live, she reflects. Many of us from the first Essence Festival are no longer here, and they were all my good friends. But if time is precious, it's also a reminder that through her own grace and strength, she is still standing all of these years later. And yes, that's a reason to be thankful indeed. While Black does not crack per se, of course, I have to ask the question that we all want answered. How does she keep it all together? And always so regally. I never want to leave the house in sneakers, jeans, or sweatsuits, she says, describing her daily approach to presentation. I love people in those particular items because they look great, but I just don't feel presentable if I'm dressed in jeans or a sweatsuit or sneakers. This attention to her appearance reflects deeper values instilled by her parents. That's the way my father was, she explains. And my mom, a fashionista, was just dressing all the time for representing all the same. LaBelle maintains this standard, opting for kitten heels over the towering platforms of her younger days. No more 5 and 6 inches at 81, she says, laughing. I'm not banging like that. Yet, she still makes sure she has on a little bit of makeup, a lip, and maybe shades before stepping out, always looking like I'm going to go on stage. Speaking of the stage, LaBelle possesses something that can't be bottled, packaged, or replicated. An unwavering sense of self that has carried her through 65 years in the entertainment industry. I'll be 81 tomorrow, and just being able to still be relevant or to just be able to stand up and talk in my right mind, I am every day thanking God because it's a blessing, she says. Her gratitude palpable and a powerful refrain. I woke up this morning and I'm healthy. Though LaBelle's 4-octave range and emotional depth are undeniable, the secret to her longevity goes beyond her talent. It's rooted in an authenticity that has guided every decision throughout her career, from her famous sequined gowns to her wisely chosen business ventures. It's important to note that her business acumen was developed over decades of navigating an industry that wasn't always kind to Black women. But early in her career, LaBelle benefited from having trustworthy management, first through a manager and later through her ex-husband. A lot of times you marry your managers or you have them as your family member, or it's a cousin who's managing you, and a lot of times you get jacked up, she reflects. But my ex-husband was very honest, so he kept everything together. Even so, learning to protect her own interests sometimes meant making difficult choices. When Steven Spielberg offered her the role of Shug Avery in The Color Purple, she turned it down due to personal comfort levels with certain scenes. He told me, well, there will be some kissing. A man, yes, but a woman also. While she acknowledges it was just acting and that fears about public perception influenced her decision, she doesn't regret it. Although it really shouldn't matter because you're acting, there are some small-minded people. So I said, I'm not going to take that chance. These early experiences of trusting her instincts, even when that meant passing on opportunities, helped shape the confident artist she became. Her Gemini nature, she says, makes her very spontaneous, but there's wisdom in her choices. I don't plan very many things, she admits, and things do happen because God put them in my way. That spiritual foundation has been crucial, especially given the personal heartbreaks she's endured. LaBelle lost 3 sisters before they reached the age of 44, a reality that gives weight to every birthday she celebrates. My sisters all died early, 3 sisters, and I'm still standing. Of course, prayer is in my life every second of every day. I don't take anything for granted. This perspective on mortality and blessing does not make her morbid. Instead, it fuels her continued ambition. Decades later, she's still recording music and harboring dreams of achieving what has eluded her throughout her decorated career. Platinum albums and platinum music. I really want that, she says. I've never had that. I've had gold, but I need some triple platinum. That would make me so happy. And at 81, I know I can still get it. Her optimism about future success speaks to something essential about LaBelle's character. She's never been one to rest on past achievements. She's always pushing forward, always believing in possibilities. This drive helped her conquer fears that once held her back, and the transformation from a fearful young woman to someone willing to take on Dancing with the Stars in her 70s illustrates this growth. It really scared me because I'm not a dancer by any means, she says about the experience. But afterwards, so many women and men came up and said, God, you gave us so much encouragement to try to do things that we think we can't do. This willingness to embrace challenges has become a part of her legacy. Most people block their blessings, she says. I used to, but I don't block them anymore. I try everything. Just because you're in your 70s doesn't mean you shouldn't try Dancing with the Stars or The Masked Singer. Anything that somebody else can do, you can too. Her definition of the essence woman highlights perfectly with this philosophy of life. The essence woman is very, 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 very well put together, she says. Classy, mothers, grandmothers, a go-getter woman. I consider myself an essence woman because I'm a go-getter and I'm going to try most things that come my way. Though we couldn't have put it better ourselves, it feels even more special coming from Miss Patty, especially during a milestone year for our magazine and brand, which has inspired and will continue to inspire past, present, and future generations of Black women. Next on her agenda, Essence Festival of Culture this July in New Orleans, of course. Essence celebrates 55 years of chronicling Black excellence. Patti LaBelle is the perfect embodiment of the magazine's mission all these years later. So it feels like a full circle moment to have her back on our stage. Decades after her first appearance, she shares our enthusiasm. I'm happy to be coming back, she says simply. 8 decades in, Patti LaBelle represents the full spectrum of Black womanhood, the artist, the entrepreneur, the survivor, the family matriarch, and the eternal optimist, who still believes her biggest achievements lie ahead. I left our conversation inspired, not only by what she has endured and achieved, but also by her still bright future. As she turns 81 years young, we can't wait to see what her next chapter has in store. As always, we'll be there, cheering her on. You are listening to Essence with Sharice Stevens on Sun Sounds of Arizona. From fittings to final frames, the designer behind the custom looks for 8 A-list actresses shares how fashion history was made in one unforgettable shoot. The Forever Cover by Nandy Howard. In May 2000, Essence magazine unveiled its 30th anniversary collector's edition, a memorable issue that became one of the highest selling in the magazine's history, At the heart of this epic volume was renowned fashion artist Angela Dean, who crafted the distinctive gowns worn by the eight leading ladies on the cover: Halle Berry, Loretta Devine, Vivica A. Fox, Regina King, Michael Michelle, Elise Neal, Queen Latifah, and Jada Pinkett Smith. Dean's designs not only showcased her unparalleled craftsmanship, but also celebrated the multifaceted beauty and strength of Black womanhood. Now, as Essence commemorates its 55th anniversary, we revisit that groundbreaking moment. In an exclusive interview with Angela Dean, we comb through her memories of that transformative day, exploring the creative process, the emotions behind the shoot, and the lasting impact of the cover. Accompanied by never-before-seen archival photos and behind-the-scenes stories, this retrospective looks at a defining chapter in Essence's legacy and the enduring influence of Dean's visionary designs. Here, she shares her recollections of that once-in-a-lifetime creative collaboration. The inspiration. I met then-fashion director Pamela Macklin only a few months before we did the cover shoot. She had just started when Susan L. Taylor introduced us. Pamela and I immediately bonded. About a week after we met, she called me. "Angela," she said, "I want to let you know something confidential. We're getting ready to do a 30th anniversary cover for Essence with eight leading ladies. This has never been done before." She named all of the women, and I was like, "What?" And she said, "Yeah, girl, and I'm letting you know now, every designer in New York is bidding for this. But God told me that you were supposed to do it all." And I said, "What?" She said, "This is what I want you to do. I have a bouquet of flowers with the colors we're thinking of. We want to do it in Jersey." I think I had started working with Jersey, which was a newer fabric for me at the time, a newer vibe. But because she knew me, she knew I was capable of being able to be fast and creative. And also that one of my gifts is knowing how to work with different body types. The design process. Pamela told me she wanted to do something that was different with all the necklines. There would be no jewelry and no shoes. She wanted everything to come from a space of just bringing out the pure beauty and essence of what each one of the women brought, their individual beauty and style. It was my job to pull that out and represent that in visual form, not only through color, but through the simplicity of my design. So I took each one of the leading ladies and I decided, with the bouquet of flowers, which color to put on each woman. I had a very short period of time. I think it was maybe a week or something unrealistic like that. I'm known to do things like couture stuff in just days. I can turn something around in less than a week. So I took on the project and I started creating and designing according to what Pamela said. The fitting. The night before the shoot, we had to have a fitting. It was amazing. I think the only person's look that I had to change was Regina King. I don't know if it was pants and then I ended up taking the pants away, but the only person I didn't fit that night was Halle Berry because she couldn't come to the fitting appointment. So that next morning, I did a fitting with just Halle. When I zipped up that zipper up dress on her, I knew God had opened the skies for me because it zipped up in perfection. There was nothing I needed to do with that dress, not pin it, not sew something, not tack anything. Perfection. She was happy. Everyone was happy. The magic on set. All eight of the ladies were getting their makeup done at the same time in the same room. They were laughing, playing around, talking crazy. Queen Latifah was cutting up. Nobody knows, but Queen is hilarious. So she was having a good time with everybody. All of the ladies just had a ball. It was like a big family reunion for them because they all knew each other. When I saw all eight women merge on set and that picture came to life, I couldn't take it in. I went through me. I walked away and began to cry. And I'm not really an emotional person, but it just felt like God had showed up for all of us on set that day. And you feel the moment. The impact. Whenever that 30th anniversary Essence cover gets posted on social media, it goes viral all over again. A lot of people have said to me, "This cover reminds me of my childhood. My mother had this cover. My grandmother had this cover. This cover feels like empowerment. This cover feels like Black excellence." The cover is just iconic. We did that. From Essence Online, July 6, 2026. I did Essence Festival solo again, and it gave me everything. Essence Festival works for girls' trips, but going solo is my tradition now. And this year just gave me another reason to keep it. By Kachel Pratcher. For the third year in a row, I packed a bag and headed to New Orleans for the Essence Festival of Culture. Going solo has become my tradition, and this year gave me every reason to keep it. I walked into the convention center on Friday and felt it right away. Longer lines, more people, a charge in the air. The vibes were there. You feel excited, ready to celebrate, and eager to get into the magic of the moment. I got in later than planned, the way I always seem to, but I still made my rounds. The crowd was thriving, and I was so happy to be back. A delight I feel every time the festival starts. Friday belonged to the ladies. I came early Friday night for one thing, the conversation between Michelle Obama and Kiki Palmer. We all love our forever first lady, and both women are Chicago natives. So, as a Black woman from the South Side of Chicago, sitting in that seat to witness them talk about style, self-image, and her book, The Look, meant something I did not expect to feel. As a BeautyCon VIP, I even walked away with a copy of the book. Some moments you plan for, but the giddiness I felt during this experience still caught me by surprise. Then the women took the stage. I had upgraded to VIP suite seats this year, with complimentary drinks, dinner, and comfortable club seating. Latto, Kalani, and Cardi B all took over the stage and brought the party. That lineup pulled out a specific kind of crowd, and it was fun. Loud and exactly what it needed to be to kick off the concert series experiences. Saturday mornings are for BeautyCon. I always save my visit to BeautyCon for Saturday morning. It is my favorite part of the daytime floor, and as a girl who loves all things beauty, I could spend a whole day there. This year, I bought a BeautyCon VIP ticket for the Luxe Lounge, and to get ahead of the lines, the goodie bag we were given did not disappoint. Canvas Beauty was one of my favorite activations. I learned the story behind its founder, Stormy Steele, and the people working the booth were as warm as the brand itself. Her fantasy box is another I look forward to experiencing in person every year. I made my rounds to Shea Moisture for the Shea-versity photo moment and to Bask and Lather, Black Girl Vitamins, Camille Rose, and Miel Organics. At the Always booth, in Unbothered and Well, I got my picture taken and fell into a full conversation with the photographer, who turned out to be from Chicago, like me. That is the thing about this festival. You can talk to anyone and make a new friend. I also stood in the long Disney line for my Mickey Mouse ears, and the big kid in me loved every second of the experience. The floor is not just booths and swag, though. I caught the main stage conversations, too, including Chief Curator Tiana Taylor and Daniel Kaluuya, and Coco Gilbert, and a live session with Lauren LaRosa, DJ Envy, and others. Saturday night, the whole dome was singing. I splurged on seats up close so I could see a Brandy and Monica in person. But the moment I keep coming back to is the one that happening right next to me, not on stage. To my left, a woman was from California, older than me, whom I talked to all night, and she adopted me as her daughter for the evening. When Babyface came on, she took her shoes off and handed me her bag to hold so she could really get into it.
She sang and partied her heart out. To my right was a woman who told me about her whole history with Brandy, how long she had been a fan, and how much those songs meant to her. That is what Essence Fest does. So many generations, all in one room. All there for their own reasons, having a good time. Women of every age letting go at once. The concerts ran a little late on Saturday, ending around 2 a.m. So by Sunday, I was too worn out to do much. But that is the beauty of going solo. You pick what you want to do and when you want to do it. And I was not leaving before Brandy and Monica finished. Going solo does not mean going without. Let me say this plainly for any woman weighing the idea of doing this event or any big festival or conference alone. Going solo does not mean scary. It does not mean intimidating. It does not mean you miss out. Essence Festival has always been a community, a space where Black women show up and instantly feel connected. You feel the love. You feel like you belong, no matter who you walk in with. The woman on my left who called me her daughter, the woman on my right who loves Brandy, the photographer from home. Everyone here is that welcoming, and the city is easier to navigate alone than you would think. Someone will always help you find your way, so I keep showing up. If my friends can't make it, that's okay. I'll make friends there. As the atmosphere, energy, and joy always invited. Any woman thinking about doing this on her own, you can. Essence Festival is the perfect place to start.
You have been listening to Essence with readings from the July-August 2025 issue of Essence Magazine. I am Cherise Stevens, a volunteer reader with Sun Sounds of Arizona. Have a great day.